So for the next few weeks, we will be joining with a number of other United Methodist churches and other churches that are trying to make sense of the times that are in front of us, and in particularly the division that exists inside of our country. There are people that are deeply divided, and not only deeply divided politically, but deeply divided in lots of other things. I mean, sometimes neighborhood disputes take on a life of their own, and people get really, really kind of like really in a very bad place. And so that's not what we were created for. And in light of the kind of competition and rancor and division, a number of religious leaders have been, you know, worried, and me too. So for these next few weeks, we will touch on political things and personal things, but we will also work our way through this idea from the perspective of what Jesus taught us. It, you know, one of the things for me, really, really personally for me, is the need to follow Jesus. If we follow Jesus and make a difference in our world, we've done our job. And one of the things that Jesus says, and this shows up in other religious traditions as well, obviously there's some powerful God stuff going on there. Jesus says, do unto others and otters as you would want them to do to you. So today, we're going to kind of just jump right into this by talking about kindness. And kindness is complex, okay? You know, kindness is something that we, you know, are taught in some ways from a very early age. I hope that the more parents are able to kind of instill that side of kindness into people, the better you would go. The kind of kindergarten lessons that we have, right? So let me give you an example. When, you know, back in the olden days, do you know what I mean by olden days? Appalachian term. Back, you know, a few years ago, there were movies that were not on a disc. Okay? They were not on a shiny little kind of beautiful disc that you, slim little thing. No, there were these sandwich boxes, basically, that had a magnetic tape on the inside. Some of you may have never seen these, but some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we thought we were so cool when we got a VCR in our house, you know, like, oh man, I can play any movie I want, any stinking time I want to. This is so awesome. And so you take the, and you know, of course, as children find those things, they tend to stick things in there besides the VCR, but that's a whole other problem. That's a peanut butter problem, okay? But no, there was these boxes that had movies on them, and they were so cool. And so you would take the box, and you would put it into the machine, and then, first of all, you would be greeted by the FBI. Do you remember that? Greetings from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We would like for you to know, if you copy this, we're coming after you. And you're going to pay a lot of money, and we're going to make a face, you know. And which was always kind of like the test in my house of who was a rule follower and who was not. So the rule followers were always like, okay, I want to make sure I don't do anything wrong here. And so you get past all that, and then you roll the tape. You make your way through to the end of the tape. You get to the end of the tape. You know, you think like, okay, well, maybe we got another tape. Remember when you would rent those tapes? There was a thing called Blockbuster Video, or the local video store that you had in your neighborhood. And it was, you know, it was the sign of civilization at one point, if you had a Blockbuster Video, you know, or a video store around you. Oh, we have a video store. And so you would get to the end of the tape, and you would think, like, all right, well, I need to take that back. But then oftentimes there was a sticker on the outside of the videotape that said what? It said, Right. And so that was a real serious courtesy that developed over time, because people, you know, wanted to be able to take that tape when they got it back, or they rented it from the store, or they got it off the shelf. They wanted to be able to pull that thing off the, and then stick it inside there, and then magic, the video would start. Or some jerk would have not rewound the tape. And it would take, it felt like it would take an hour for the tape to rewind, right? Do you remember at some point someone realized we could sell VCRs if we give them, you know, a special feature that would speed up the rewinding process? And we're all like, ooh, I can rewind that quickly. I can, you know, go to the bathroom and get another. And then, you know, people would just sort of work through that. And after a while, Blockbuster realized it was such a problem, they would tack on a fee. Do you remember that? Not just Blockbuster, but others would tack on, like, you know, it's like a $5 fee if you do not rewind, right? And then you turn it in late, of course, and you basically pay for the tape. So it was always good. It was always good. When you got to the end of the thing, just to hit rewind, you know, let it go. Sometimes you would hit fast forward by accident, and then you would have to go back and redo it. But then you get it rewound, and you stick the next movie in. Now, this is a simple courtesy. This is a kindness that makes life easier for the people around you. And that's one of the things about courtesies, is they're intended to kind of like grease the relationship, to kind of, you know, sort of help the other people around you, help you be present in a loving way with other people around you. That's a simple kindness. Of course, kindness is also a complex thing as well. And as we encounter these kind of differences, kindness becomes really, really important. As we encounter those things that separate us, that kind of like, you know, get into that 1% rather than the 99% of what unites us, those things that kind of push up against us and each other about what is right and what's wrong, what's just and what's unjust, these are things that are real and complex and part of our life. And it is almost easy to say, well, kindness doesn't count in those. Kindness. Ugh. Someone asked, if we believe the other party is wrong about some really critical issue, are we simply to be nice and not address those serious differences? Just be nice. Just, you know, it doesn't matter. Be nice. But the answer is, if we're going to participate in the realities of our life, and we're going to deal with the difficulties of those things that are hard, then we need to take a stand for what we believe in. We need to say, no, I don't think that's right. I think this. But too often, we do that kind of like, this is what I believe, this is what I have experienced, this is what I know. We do that with rancor, in a way that merely pushes people away from what we believe. Ad hominem kind of like things like, no, I'm right, you're wrong, and you're stupid. How could you believe that? What kind of insanity or weirdness drives you to think in these ways, to understand things in these ways? That only polarizes us with hostility and demeaning the other. So today, as we talk about kindness, one of the models that we can take, we can hold, is the weird things that happen in politics sometimes. One model for a kind relationship was seen between Senator Orrin Hatch. Some of you might remember Orrin Hatch, conservative Republican from Utah, very conservative Republican from Utah, and Senator Ted Kennedy, very liberal Democrat from Massachusetts. In some ways, ideologically, on polar opposites of the aisle, men who disagreed with each other substantially. These were men who were often adversaries on issues in the Senate, but cared for one another as friends. Shortly after Kennedy's death in 2009, Hatch said, "I have to say that we became very dear friends. That doesn't mean that we didn't fight with each other. We fought each other with tooth and tongue." I learned that phrase as tooth and nail, but you know what I'm saying. We fought each other like tooth and tongue, but afterwards, we'd put our arms around each other and laugh about it. And we passed a lot of very important legislation together. And I will greatly miss him. In 2022, when Hatch died, he was the longest serving senator in the United States. Kennedy and Hatch both fought for justice, for what was right, as they understood it, in the different ways in which they understood it. And their understandings of what justice looked like and the proper role of government and how to achieve that justice were at odds with one another at times. Yet, even in disagreement, even in fighting for justice, their fight was tempered by their relationship, by their understanding of the other person, by their kindness to each other. There's two words here that are really important. One is justice. We talked about that. What is right? What is good? Justice in the Old Testament has a word. It is mishpat. Say that with me. I'll say it with you. Mishpat. Justice. This is what we should do. This is what's right. But there's a word that goes alongside of that, which is the word, Hebrew word for kindness, which is hesed. That's the English rendering of that. To say it properly, you gotta like throw a lot of guttural sort of like stuff in the back of your throat. You know, I'm not gonna ask you to do that. We'll do it in English. Hesed. So hesed, it's really fundamental to kindness, but it's complicated too. The word hesed appears 250 times in the Hebrew Bible. There's a Greek New Testament version of that, which sometimes is rendered as agape. And both of those are really nuanced and complicated in their usage. Let me sort of step through that, and a summary is on the screen. Hesed includes a concern for the other person. And in this sense, it is sometimes translated as compassion. To have concern for the person in front of me, for the people in front of me, despite those differences about justice, despite those differences in culture or, you know, all those things that we make as divisions. It is a commitment, hesed, is a commitment to provide care or to help the other person. And it's, in a sense, sometimes translated as kindness. I'm not just going to have a compassion for the person. I want to help them out. Now, I might not agree with them. I might think that there are things that they're making mistakes on, or I don't really kind of understand fully where they're coming from on those things. Nevertheless, to work for their good. It is at times, as said, it's at times providing aid to someone who has no right to expect that kind of kindness from you. We call that mercy. That's a deeply God thing, because none of us have earned our way into the relationship that God offers to us out of mercy and grace. And there are times that chesed expresses a deep commitment, to that relationship with the other person. And in a sense, that's often translated as steadfast love or loyalty. I'm with it. I'm with you in it to the end, even if we don't agree. In this last sense, a husband and wife can show chesed to each other. Partners can show chesed to each other. Friends are meant to show chesed to one another, that steadfast love to each other. Steadfast love is primarily an attribute of God's character. This is something that we say about God. We read about God in the New Testament over and over again. We read about God in the Old Testament over and over again with words like, His love endures forever, including the dumb stuff we do. This is why in the Old Testament book of Micah, the Lord says in a requirement, this is what I'm wanting from you. This is what I require of you. This is Micah 6:8. Some of you know this by heart. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, right? Mishpat. To love kindness, chesed, and to walk humbly with your God. I love weddings. Y'all like weddings? I love weddings. I really like the receptions because I think I can eat without guilt. I don't know why. It's just like, oh, those crepes are so good. And you know, if there is a reception. Sometimes there's not. But I love weddings, and I ask couples that I marry to spend some time with me in advance. We plan the worship service, of course, but we also step through the relationship. I figure that one of the things that I can do as a gift to them is to kind of reflect on sort of where the relationship is and how it's going and what kind of things need to be shorn up. We do that in some pastoral counseling that is done together. But one of the things that I say to them is, this is what you're signing up for. Just so you know, this is what you're signing up for. Compassion. And kindness, and mercy, and steadfast love. Inside of my wallet, for the longest time, I've lost it. Don't tell my wife. Don't tell my wife. But inside my wallet, I carried a scripture that was handed out at our wedding. It was from 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you know that, right? You hear it at weddings all the time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. And it's just as much as that freaked me out as a newly married man, that was what was expected. I came to understand, really, that passage is about what we can expect from God. And kind of what God invites us to. Remember, the passage that Charlie read ended, be compassionate, as your Father in heaven is compassionate. Or in Matthew, it goes like this, be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. This kind of thing, chesed, is not a feeling. And sometimes we base on our responses, our reactions, our fullness of response as like, how do I feel about this? This is not rooted clearly in feelings. In fact, sometimes it's not a feeling at all. It's an orientation. It's a direction that you head in. It's a commitment, a dogged determination to help, care, and bless the other, the otter. This is how we're meant to live our lives towards each other, not only our spouses, but our neighbor, our enemies, the people with whom we have disagreements, the people with whom we don't feel comfortable with. And it's how God cares for you and me and how you are called to care for one another. It's how we are to live as human beings. And in some ways, Orin and Ted found a way to do that. Now, we represent different points of view politically in our country. With for a long time, we used animals, all right? So there's donkeys and elephants, right? About 20, 25 years ago, something like that, people started using colors, right? So red represented those folks who were on a conservative or Republican point of view. Although, you know, just because you're a Republican doesn't necessarily mean that you are all in on conservatism. That's a complex conversation, maybe for another day. So red was representative of that broad group, right? And then blue was representative of progressive, liberal, and Democrat. And likewise, just because a person might be a Democrat doesn't necessarily mean that they're completely all in on what it means to be progressive or liberal. But we've had these two colors, right? And they started to be like, well, there's red states, right? These are states that you can reliably understand this. And then there's blue states, right? Some of you might find yourself in this place of being, well, I kind of trend towards the red, or, you know, I'm more blue. And it's funny how we make assumptions about each other in terms of who is red and who is blue. Because when you go into it, you know, I've been into plenty of churches where people have said, oh, we are all Republicans here. And then the Democrats come to me and say, oh, there's a bunch of us that are Democrats. Or vice versa, right? So I've learned that you and I, regardless of how we might like attach a color, are people, right? With the complexities of people. That we're not just a pure brand. And the understanding is that red and blue, primary colors, can mix with each other. That when you take red and you take blue, you get what? Some would argue it's violet, but they're weird. It's purple. That's what you see here. This is a rendering of those colors coming together. If you were to think about this from the perspective of the colors that we use, what we have in front of us with Hesed is finding a place where we might meet and be with others, despite our differences. I'm not saying you shouldn't be red or you shouldn't be blue. But what I would like to invite you to do, what I'm asking you to do, is to find a place that you can stand and be with other people who are not like you exactly. It's finding a place where we can meet and be with each other despite our disagreements or our differences. It's standing in the purple places that Jesus invites us to, that Jesus is calling us to unto others, not the good others, not the nice others, not the others that are kind of, you know, I can tolerate you, but you, not so much. Sorry, drummers, I'm not saying that about you. Jesus says, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Love your enemies. Be kind and compassionate. Be long-suffering in your mercy and your kindness. Be steadfast in your loyalty and your love. As you move through your week, just your week, maybe just today, as you move forward, I'm asking you where you might be standing, Where am I standing myself? Where am I standing with others in my life? I might be 1 foot in the purple and 1 foot in the blue. But at least I'm with the other. This will take patience. This is countercultural. This is not what we're taught to do in our workplaces and in our our circles, our orbits, our friendships. No, we don't mix with those folks, those people. I'm asking you. Jesus is directing you to do that very thing. So this is the invitation. This will take prayer and patience. Patience actually is a fruit of the Spirit. And invite you all to this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.